Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, lock on. Peace.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. Glad to be back. Sorry for not being there last week, but it is what it is. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master. And, as usual, on 8 p.m., on a Thursday night, you know what time it is. It's SSP Crew Showtime. We got a great show in store for you tonight. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to my co-host or me. We also have a chat room open. It's for your convenience. You want to be there? You can be there with the chat room. It's there for your convenience. Question, comment, make a statement. You can do that. As always, we will answer it as you bring it out. We're going to be talking about some football. We're going to be talking about some basketball. And somebody else is in the news that decides to open their mouth and got a crazy reaction. We're going to also talk about that. And we're going to be talking about, like we always have, the police blotter. Because there are some people that just can't stay out of trouble. And we're going to be talking about that. As always, I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, same state that I'm born and raised in. He's from Jersey, and so am I. Jeff the Joker. Let's bring him in right now. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Jerry, what's going on?
Oh, man, there's a lot going on. You know there's a lot going on. There's guys can't stay out of trouble. Guys that, I mean, we're talking about multi-millionaire guys. Guys that own teams. Guys that have so much going for them that the average person would envy them. But they wouldn't envy them for some of the things they come out and say out of their mouth. We got one guy that can't help himself. An older guy that can't help himself no matter what he says. I'm talking about Donald Sterling. He comes out and says the craziest things, and he happens to be an NBA owner. And I guess this other owner wants to join the limelight in this negative way. Why, I don't know. Got more money than he knows what to do with and for generations to come, and he decides to put his foot in the proverbial mouth. I'm talking about Mark Cuban. Jeff, I got a clip that I downloaded. I want to play it. You know what? I haven't even heard this clip. So whatever it is, it is, and then we'll talk about it when we come back. How's that?
All right.
You know, in this day and age, this country has really come a long way, putting any type of bigotry behind us, regardless of who it's towards, whether it's, you know, the LGBT community, whether it's xenophobia, you know, fear of people from other countries. We've come a long way, and with that progress comes a price, where we're a lot more vigilant in what we, and we're a lot less tolerant of different views. And it's not necessarily easy for everybody to adapt or evolve. I mean, we're all prejudiced in one way or the other. If I see a black kid in a hoodie, and it's late at night, I'm walking to the other side of the street. And if on that side of the street there's a guy that has tattoos all over his face, white guy, bald head, tattoos everywhere, I'm walking back to the other side of the street. And the list goes on of stereotypes that we all live up to and are fearful of. And so in my businesses, try not to be hypocritical. You know, I know that I'm not perfect. I know that I live in a glass house, and it's not appropriate for me to throw stones. And so when I run into bigotry in organizations I control, I try to find solutions. I'll work with people. I'll send them to training. I'll send them to sensitivity training. I'll try to give them a chance to you know, improve themselves, because I think helping people improve their lives, helping people engage with people they may fear they don't understand, and helping people realize that while we all have our prejudices and bigotries, we have to learn that it's an issue that we have to control, that is part of my responsibility as an entrepreneur to try to solve it, not just to kick the problem down the road, because it does society, it does my company no good, it does my customers no good, it does society no good if my response to somebody and their racism and bigotry is to say, it's not right for you to be here, go take your attitude somewhere else.
Jeff.
Yeah.
I'll say this first before I bring you in here. I'll say this first. He Dallas owner, this is an article, Dallas owner, Mavericks owner, Mark Cuban apologized to the family of slain South Florida teenager Trayvon Martin for referencing a black kid in a hoodie during a controversial, nuanced discussion about prejudices and bigotry. He made the apology this afternoon and elaborated on his thoughts expressed during an interview Wednesday. In hindsight, I should have used different examples. I didn't consider the Trayvon Martin family, and I apologize for that. Beyond apologizing to the Martin family, I stand by the words and substance of the interview. I think that helping people improve their lives, helping people engage with people they may fear or may not understand, and helping people realize that while we all may have our prejudices and bigotries, we have to learn that it's an issue that we have to control, that it's part of my responsibility as an entrepreneur to try to solve it. All right, Jeff, your thoughts. Mark Cuban,
you know,
putting himself into the fray of this.
You know, Donald Sterling has been considered a buffoon for a long time.
Yeah.
I thought Mark Cuban was a little better than that because I don't know. I mean, I like Cuban. Usually,
right.
You know, he's a self-made guy. He's a bright guy, a lot of energy, ideas. I think a lot of the criticism of him isn't even relevant. And my thing is, sometimes when people don't like you, they criticize you for ridiculous stuff. You know, and I don't like that, you know.
Right.
And unfortunately, especially if you take it out of context, you know, Cuban doesn't sound too with it. And, you know, it's like I think maybe it might have started as an attempt on Cuban to kind of smooth out the Sterling situation maybe. Also, I mean, I think even if it's a secret vote, it's going to get out who voted to keep Sterling and who didn't. And that might have something to do with it. I mean, the thing is, I mean, you know, I live in a diverse neighborhood. I think it's not the hood. I think technically it's the barrio based on percentages. But, you know, it's a mixed neighborhood. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, they see, you know, 10 teenagers on the street corner and the same race as that person is, they're going the other way. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of it. And, you know, people have asked me, you know, what it's like living in a mixed neighborhood. Truth is, I haven't had a lot of problems. But that's because, you know, I have common sense. I mind my business. I don't look for trouble, you know, and, you know, try to be nice, whatever. But I swear to God, sometimes in a mixed neighborhood, it's the white people are the scariest ones. You know? I'll never forget the time. It was before I lived here. I lived in Patterson, you know, similar type neighborhood.
Right.
And I go to a liquor store, because, you know, in every good neighborhood like that, you always got to have a liquor store. And but I was getting my lottery tickets. Also, you know, you always got to spend more money than you can afford for the lottery tickets. And I bumped into a fellow Caucasian, and he was wearing slippers in the liquor store, and that just really shocked me.
I felt like
this is why you got to mind your own business, because, you know, I felt like pulling him aside and being like, you don't wear that out of the house, Jack. You know?
Right.
I'm like, who the hell walks into the liquor store? I mean, it's just a liquor store. It's not like it's, you know, you're going to a wedding or something.
Right.
But put on a decent pair of shoes for crying out loud.
Right.
And, I just was, like, shaking my head. That's almost like, it's a trivial thing, but you almost wish you could, like, put someone under citizen arrest for something like that, or at least write them a ticket, you know?
Yep, I've seen pajama pants and slippers or full pajama gear and coming in the store or wherever, you know, but out and about in pajama gear. I mean,
you
have to think now, what were they thinking and why were they thinking that, and why didn't they convince themselves this was not the right thing to do?
I'll tell you another thing you got to look out for in a diverse neighborhood, usually because this is where you might find it, is and this cuts across race. You got to watch out for the rooming houses because, you know, I know I had a buddy who was in one of those places for a while because he was down on his luck and whatever, and a lot of these folks just, you know, they're really struggling and, you know, they need a place to stay.
Right.
But unfortunately, there's some cats in those places who aren't nice folks.
Right.
Who aren't
right.
getting it together.
Right.
It's not temporary.
Right. Well, I've...
Et cetera.
I've always...
And believe me, there's one of those places in my neighborhood. I don't like parking in front of there. I don't like walking past that place.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Okay.
That seems to attract a certain element, and it's a multicolored element. It's not just one type.
And it's a very transient element.
Yes, like I said, and I'm sure some of those folks are nice, real nice, like my buddy who no longer lives in a rooming house.
Right.
But I don't know, especially from my experience as a social worker, You know, there's a good chance in a rooming house there's ex-convicts and, you know, and a lot of other people who might be a little unpleasant, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I've always lived in I've always lived in a diverse neighborhood. I went to a diverse school system right from kindergarten on up to higher education. I think in my 60 years, I've seen a lot, both positive and negative. I have a tendency to treat people, because I've been taught like this, and to treat people not based on their color of their skin, but how they actually handle themselves. I'm a pretty easygoing guy, so it's you have to do a lot to get me going. I've seen the good and the bad in people, and throughout where I live, and throughout my many travels. So to have someone start this conversation off like with Donald Sterling, and then to have Mark Cuban to weigh in, it boggles my mind, because these guys have so much going for them. Why would you even, you know, Donald Sterling, in my opinion, can't help himself. He is what he is, and he really can't help himself. No matter what he says, it seems like it brings out the worst in of what you can think about a person thinks about other people or race of people or races of people. But when you see that sitting out there and you know what kind of negative attention it draws you, meaning Donald Sterling, and you're another NBA owner or you're someone else that is a celebrity, why even go that route? Because you can't win. You cannot win because it's such a sensitive issue right now that it's best left alone for the time being. But I have to think, you know, he talks a lot. He's been fined millions of dollars from the league because he talks a lot. And I thought he just had to weigh in this. Rather than say, I really don't have any comment on it, I'd rather not go there. This person who interviewed him was like he had to be the smartest person in the room at the time to get him to come out and say the things he said, because if I had that amount of money and I was an NBA owner and I was a high-profile NBA owner, like such as Mark Cuban, there is no way in all God's kingdom that I would come out and say anything that would be inflammatory or viewed as inflammatory, because I could be painted in a broad brush, within the Donald Sterling umbrella, even though he may have the best intentions in the world. It's a no-win situation at this time. So why even go there? It boggles my mind with the kind of things that he's done in his life and made of himself, just like you said earlier, self-made, a multi-millionaire, if not a billionaire, close to it, and to put himself out there. Because just like Donald Sterling, even though he's going to make a huge windfall when this team gets sold. But sponsors have left the team because of him. He's got all kind of negative publicity over this, so he's like a pariah. And anyone that goes that route, even a small amount, is going to be viewed in the same light. So you have an NBA team and you got products out there that you want to promote along with your team. It's only going to affect you negatively. Why would you absolutely do that and torpedo what you've built up? Any response?
Yeah, I mean, I concur. And the thing is, I mean, with Donald Sterling, you know, he's got a history of making a fool of himself, and he's mm-hmm. in his early 80s. What's Mark Cuban's excuse? I mean, and some people didn't like his antics, but he seemed to have toned it down a bit. Mm-hmm. I was a little disappointed with Cuban. I think he was trying to maybe help out Sterling a little, but it didn't come out right.
No, and the article already said he stands by his words. So he's even digging himself a bigger hole by saying that, in my opinion. So, go ahead, Jeff.
The thing is with Sterling, I mean, as ludicrous as he is, the only thing I could say in his defense is the original remarks were a private conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like the fact that, I mean, I think maybe that woman was blackmailing him or something. In most states, it's illegal to tape somebody on the phone without their consent. And maybe these remarks could have been somewhat provoked or instigated. I don't know. But I don't like the idea of someone getting in trouble for private remarks. But he's done nothing to help that since then. And this is unrelated to what he said, but it just makes me have a little sympathy for Sterling because, you know, I was watching a lot of basketball in the early 80s when he was, earning his reputation as a buffoon. And and he really did. I mean,
he did.
You know, made that team into a joke for decades.
Yep.
That, and this is unrelated, but it makes me feel sympathetic towards him. He buried his son back in the 90s. And, you know, I mean, I, like I said, it's got nothing to do with it, but it makes you think, you know, maybe he's just a buffoon, not a monster. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, kind of like, I mean, Archie Bunker, yes, Archie Bunker was a bigot. He wasn't a monster. I mean, you know, some of the things he said were so ridiculous, but when the Klan wanted him to join, he made it clear he wanted nothing to do with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And Archie, you know, he would say things and sometimes do things, but he never, it wasn't horrible. It wasn't violent. You know what I mean? You know, maybe not always correct or whatever, but he wasn't all bad, you know. And that's what made him an interesting character, I guess, you know.
Well,
and he stood up to those Klan guys.
When you're talking about back then, now what the that series and the spinoff to Jeffersons, that was all cutting edge stuff, stuff that is from all intents and purposes. I don't think they could do that in this day and age with the so much political correctness as things are going on now. So. Some of that stuff was, I mean, a lot of it was bringing to light even though it was through comedy, and a lot of comedy has done that, bringing to light the conflict and the problems of race in the country. So that thing was cutting edge, and like I said, I don't think because the day and age we live in now, that a station, a TV station would put something like that on now, or try to replicate something like that, because of the fact that the state of affairs now wouldn't and the uproar would be too much. And we have our esteemed other co-host who happened to jump on the line. Let's bring in Black, my man from the DMV area. What's up, my man?
What's going on? What's going on, fellas?
Hey,
uh-oh.
Black.
Uh-oh. And it just so happens the man from the 240, Mikal, you guys must be working in cahoots because you both jumped on about the same time. What's up, Mikal?
What's up, man? Hey, what's up, Black?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Mikal.
There's no cahoots here. I've never worked with Scans Fine.
Oh, that's all. He and his feelings because his heart got broke by the buzzers.
Anyway, I'm glad you guys got on the line because Jeff and I were talking about another NBA owner who happened to voice his opinion. I don't know why he did, but he did, and there's been pretty much of an uproar about his remarks. And I want to get your guys' opinions on what Mr. Mark Cuban had to say in the last few days. I'll go to Black first, and then to Mikal.
I'm with Stephen A. Smith on this one. Stephen A. Smith came out. He said he had no problem with what Cuban said. I have no problem with what Cuban said either. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. The only thing that I had is that he would cross the street. I would stay on the same side of the street as a young kid with a hoodie. I would stay on the same side of the street as the KKK. I would even stay on the same side of the street as Solange Knowles if she was walking down that street.
Come on, man, Black. All right, Mikal. What's your thoughts?
I, I I really didn't have no problem with what he said, except for the black man in a hoodie thing. He could have left that out. He could have just said, anybody with a hoodie, you know, you might look sketchy to me, so I'm going to walk. You know, he could have cleaned it up. But the overall gist of what he said, the dude is a genius, man. He's a genius. Because he is engaging in the conversation. So many people like him, they just won't even engage into the conversation because they're scared of whatever landmines that they might fall in. But this dude, he hit it. He hit it out the park, and he walked it. You know what I'm saying? I give him much respect for that.
I have a different opinion because, in my opinion, if you're stepping into that spotlight, you are making yourself a target. And I understand that he's got big boy's pants on it, and he can probably take it. But why even go down that road? For the simple fact is, he's an NBA owner, okay? For one. Number two, he's trying to make a buck. He's trying to keep his sponsors for his NBA team and whatever. And if he steps the wrong way, which one of the things he said, he stepped the wrong way, he can be painted in the same light as Donald Sterling. Maybe not as much, but why even put yourself in that conversation at this time? Why not wait? Why put yourself in that line of fire? Anybody want to comment on that besides Jeff?
Because we will never progress anywhere, Jerry. We won't.
Okay.
The whole problem is that we can't have an intelligent conversation about race. We can never have it because people are scared to say this or that or fall into whatever landmine there is. You know what I mean? And you wouldn't want to put, like you said, you wouldn't want to put yourself at risk. So I commend him. You know what I mean? And I commend him. I respect him because it takes a lot of cojones to do that, but it needs to be done.
Black, any response to what I said?
The cow hit the nail on the head right there. A lot of people don't want to have this conversation. I applaud Cuba for coming out. I just can't believe he's chicken to walk across the street with those people he mentioned.
What? Yeah, maybe he walks Black, around with a
Black,
lot of
come
cash.
On, Black, come on now, Black. That is a lot of people's mindset when they see a certain person.
I'm in Washington D.C. Trust me, I experience that on a daily basis.
Right. So I mean, I understand what he's saying, but that I mean he's treading on dangerous waters here, especially in the light of what's taken place over the last 2 or 3 weeks.
No, I don't think he's treading on dangerous waters. Kilvin is fine. He's fine.
All right. Well, we got a call from the 202 coming in here. I'm not exactly sure who this is, but we'll bring him in now. Caller from the 202, welcome to the FSP Crew Show. State your name and let us know what you have to say.
My name is Theo, and I appreciate the opportunity to take part in the great show and voice my comment.
Okay.
My comment pertains to the Mark Cuban statement.
Right.
I feel like the criticism he's getting is unwarranted because he's an owner in the league. So, like, you know, he does play a role in what is going on, and he just voiced his opinion. And I dare say that had his opinion matched that of the majority, had he said something negative or, you know, outrageous towards Donald Sterling, I bet you everybody would be on his side. But because he voiced his opinion from a neutral standpoint, people seem to feel like he's treading thin water, or he jumped in the water with sharks or something. I mean, what he said, I mean, it was as neutral as it gets. And I think when he connected race to the apparel or the characteristics of the people, that's what may have rubbed people the wrong way. But I think when he was just referring to images, when he said a black guy with a hoodie and the white guy with tattoos. I don't think what he said was wrong at all, man.
Guys, anybody want to comment on what my man Dio just said?
Yeah, I agree with him 100%, man. I wish more owners would come out and say something. Forget about
right.
waiting on the vote. What's the other
exactly.
owner?
Exactly. Exactly. I applaud anybody in a position like Mark Cuban that's willing to have that conversation. You know,
right.
everybody else be trying to skate it and trying to hide away from it. Not trying to deal with it, or if you bring it up to them, they'd be the first ones to be like, "Why you always want to talk about race?" You know what I'm saying? But we not going, like I said earlier, we not gonna get nowhere if we don't have a conversation and intelligence.
Exactly, and I didn't see Adam Silver issue a gag order on any of the owners. Why aren't any of the other owners saying anything? When is this vote supposed to take place?
Exactly, exactly.
Okay. Well, I just like I said, I want to. You get into the conversation and get all four of you guys' opinions on it, including a voice mine. I wanted to get to we got about 28 minutes left in the show. I want to get into why, oh, why can these guys not stay out of trouble? Here we go again. All right. Newly acquired since March, signed a big contract with the Denver Broncos, Mr. T.J. Ward. An arrest warrant has been issued for him for a misdemeanor assault from a nightclub incident in Denver back about two weeks ago. Now, he just signed a four-year, $23 million contract in March. And 2 months later, in May, he has an arrest warrant. It's a misdemeanor assault, but in a nightclub. Why, oh, why don't these guys ever learn? Macau, talk to me.
I mean, I don't know the specifics of the situation or whatever, but they got to know that they target on one hand, but on the other hand, man, if you go to the store anywhere and you mark like that, it's not too much you can do. Ain't too much you can do. But I feel where you're coming from, though. You got to know that you know, that the whole world's watching you, and you got to carry yourself a little bit better. But, I don't know the specifics of the case. I'm just hearing about this from you, Jerry.
Okay. The police are waiting for him to turn himself in before they go out and actually chase his ass. But, Theo, talk to me, man. What do you think about this? I don't know if you know who T.J. Ward is. If you probably do, but... just another NFL player, another pro athlete getting in trouble, and it seems like it always happens in the off season. Talk to me.
Yeah, man, I think it's a case of you can take the player out the hood, but you can't take the hood out the player, man. You know these he's in his 20s or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, at the end of the day, he's a 20-something-year-old. So, he's going to make the same mistakes that a 20-something-year-old bus operator would make or a 20-something-year-old grocery clerk would make. He just happens to be in a different profession. And that's what I think it is. I don't look at football players as anything different from civilians. They just have a spotlight on them for 60 minutes every Sunday. But I just hope he get it together, man. Whatever he's dealing with, I hope he get it together, man.
Black.
I think I would just build a club inside my house just to stay off of the news. This is why guys have entourages, man. They keep their name out of stuff like this. I don't know the whole situation, but he's a young guy. He'll learn, man.
Jeff, what's your thought on this, man?
The NFL, it's about 1,600 players. I think almost all of them are in their 20s or their 30s. there's going to be a few to get into. Hopefully it's just minor trouble, but, you know, it happens. I mean, you know, even if you didn't get in trouble at that age, you could look back and say you had a few close calls, you know. I know very few people who could say they never had a close call. But these guys, you know, they got to realize, I think the smart ones realize they have a real golden opportunity and not to screw it up because it's a small window. You know, it's not like you can wake up when you're 40 and be like, you know, I really should have been more focused when I was playing ball, you know, too late, you know. And, you know, if you're a major talent, you can get away with a little bit. But if you're marginal, no team wants a marginal guy with a lot of off-the-field problems. And it's not really related, but I saw a very good documentary on ESPN about the Detroit Pistons Bad Boys team. Mm-hmm. And I used to remember I hated them out of respect because I'd cringe whenever the Knicks had to play them because I knew not only would they win, they'd rough you up pretty bad too. And,
sure.
And the thing is, I like to know what went on behind the scenes that made them so good. It wasn't just that they played a little dirty, but they were focused, you know. They had a self-imposed curfew on the road. They weren't in the clubs every night. These guys were very serious about basketball. And this isn't always the case. They were also very close, which isn't necessary, but they really were. And it was John Sally said, when people talk about a pro sports team being a family, he usually thinks it's BS, but he said that Pistons team really was like a family. And even the owner was the first to make the investment in traveling by charters, which
first
makes
class.
A lot of sense.
Yep.
But, you know, that's an investment in your athlete. That's an investment in your product. But, you know, you have some of these owners, they're bean counters. They don't see the big picture. But and now I think every NBA team travels by charter. And they were just – these guys were just very, very focused on basketball. And because, you know, the thing is sometimes you just think it's all these guys are gifted and you don't see the behind-the-scenes stuff and it's a lot of work goes into it. And I don't think any of those guys at the time had off-the-court problems. And it's so funny to see the early Dennis Rodman, you know, before the crazy hair and the tattoos and whatever. And they talked about him like he was a child. He just was, at that point, was a very naive, innocent person. And Isaiah Thomas said that they felt they needed to protect him. You know, and then maybe when he got away from that environment, that's when he, you know, got a little crazy, whatever. But, you know, I don't think he's a bad guy, but a little crazy.
All right. Well, we got another guy. And this happens to be a Jersey guy. Jeff knows who I'm talking about as soon as I said the Jersey guy, who's likely to face a league-imposed suspension following his assault charge. Ray Rice avoided trial and is a first-time offender of the personal conduct policy, and the NFL has suspended players with a similar incident. He has entered into the pretrial intervention. Jersey's got a pretrial interventions program that he has to strictly adhere to in order to have his charges dismissed. But he's going to lose some time because everybody has seen the famed video of him dragging his girlfriend and fiance, now wife, I should say, out of the elevator of a Atlantic City casino. So he's going to go into this pretrial intervention program with the hopes he completes it and has his charges dismissed. But he's going to lose some time, playing time, this season. Black, your thoughts. Ray Rice, no jail time, pretrial, suspension from the NFL, probably 2 or 3 games. Talk to me.
No, they might as well suspend him for the season because He did absolutely nothing last season. I'm not sure if that offensive line is going to get it together this year or what, but, yeah, he might as well just take the year off, get himself together, and come back fresh in 2015.
Theo, Ray Rice.
Yeah, I think this is just one of them things where the league has to be consistent. You know, he's not going to face jail time, and maybe according to the law, he satisfied or, you know, whatever he had to do, you know, to stay out of jail. But with the league, you know, they say he got to be suspended for it. They got to do it for everybody now. But I hope he come back strong. You know, I ain't got nothing against the Ravens. As long as he doesn't do good against the Redskins, I'm good.
Uh-oh, you're a Redskins fan. I got it, huh?
All day, man. All day.
Okay. McCall, a Jersey guy. I know you're not too fond of us Northerners up here. Talk to me.
Jersey is cool. Jersey is cool. Just in Philly and New York, I don't know. Yeah, you got to evaluate them on a person-to-person basis. But, you know what? I really think that the NFL is really about to show us that hypocritical ass. I mean, because, you know, you got an owner out here that's been caught with a gang of dope.
Don't go there yet.
I want to talk about that. Don't go there yet.
Speak on it.
Oh, I'm going there. I'm sorry. I got to go there.
Speak on it.
But they about to go ahead and chastise yet another football player on, you know, on some domestic issues, you know what I mean? And it wasn't like he was at some type of NFL function and they start cutting up. Nah, this was between them two. And, you know, he's just satisfied what he had to satisfy to New Jersey, man. I just don't see the big deal with them, you know, imposing something else. And they don't do it to themselves either. So, you know, nah. So they're gonna show their hypocritical ass in a minute by giving him whatever fine they give him, and yet that owner down there in Indianapolis, I'm not gonna say his name, he down there in Indianapolis, he still ain't been penalized not one bit.
You don't wanna say his name. Part of the rolling 60s Crip crew out of Indianapolis. Mr. Jim Irsay.
Okay. Well, let me put it this way. I'm reading an article here, and one of the things in the article says that one player rep on an NFC team told the reporter, here's how it looks to most of the players. Players in a mostly black league get punished quickly and harshly, but with the owners, and no offense to you, Jeff, who are white, they get protected by Goodell. This is not in any way a unique sentiment. Despite the fact of the NFL often waits on punishment with players, its perception that it doesn't, that the league has a quicker trigger with the rest of players than it has with Irsay, which is damaging its reputation. Now, the owners had a meeting, and Irsay was at that meeting, and I think he was along with the pitch for the future Super Bowl, and he also addressed the media during the meeting, not in the meeting itself, but outside the meeting. And there was questions, I guess, that were throughout the media. Why hasn't Irsay, for whatever reason, not been punished like most of the players or majority of the players get punished. If it walks like a duck and it looks like a duck and it acts like a duck, meaning him not getting punished because he's an owner versus a player, then that's a double standard, and it, for all intents and purposes, it ain't right. A tweet from Roddy White: I want to see what the NFL does about this Jim Irsay situation. If a player loses a game check, no matter the amount, he should lose a game day. I'm Roddy White again. I'm guessing a million-dollar fine will come, which is nothing to a man that makes billions. I got to see this because
Do you have the Ryan Clark statement?
Hold on a minute here. I have to get back to it. I just lost it. Let me get back to it. Let me get back to it real quick, Buck.
Yeah, Ryan Clark put it out there, Mike.
Yeah.
Is that right
out there? Oh yeah. He
let
put
me see
it
if
out.
I have the Ryan. Let me see if I got the Ryan. Come on, computer. Let's see if I got that one. I don't see. I'm trying to get to it and see if here it is. NFL owners are meeting. They should explain to players why they want to reduce our workers' compensation benefits, especially in Louisiana. I don't know how they can ask players to consider expanding players while they attack our injury benefits. I'm trying to think what else. That's the only ones I have. Does anybody have the quotes from Ryan Clark?
No, I don't have it right now.
Well, let me ask you this, Black. Since I don't have it, just give me the gist of what he has to say.
I'll let Mikhail handle it since he's a Redskin fan.
Basically, he was saying kind of the same thing I was saying, but he was much more poignant than I was. He talked about, you know, some of the double standard and how, you know, it's ironic how they keep, you know, they keep finding. No, he really focused in on Goodell and talked about how Goodell protects the owners and not so much the players. And he said evidence of that was when, you know, they was having a collective bargaining agreement. Goodell sat on the side of the owners. So he was, in his statement, he was very, very critical of Goodell, which I really applaud.
Okay. Let's see. So here we have Jim Irsay, a guy, an owner who had a history of substance abuse, who's found in a car with over $29,000 in prescription drugs that weren't in his name, pulled over for driving under the influence. And now we're saying we need more information. What more information do we need than these aren't your prescription pills? You're obviously under the influence. You have $29,000. There would be no questions asked if this was a player.
Exactly.
That's a quote from Ryan Clark saying that for some reason Roger Goodell said he didn't have enough. He said he needed more information.
Right.
Before
he went further. He went in on Roger Goodell, man. He slammed him. Slammed him real good.
Well, we're going to have to wait and see. Hopefully he does this. Well, he should have done something already. I'm surprised that he showed up at the meeting. But
you're surprised?
Well, I shouldn't say so. I'm somewhat surprised. Let me put it that way. For the simple fact is the man's got a lot of issues. He's got a ton of issues. And this is not the first run-in he's had with a problem with drugs. So it is what it is. All right. Let's step away from the NFL and move to the NBA. Now, I made a statement on Saturday, and I'm still standing by this statement on Sunday. Even though the series is tied up, and I didn't like the way they played last night. Even though the series is tied up 1-1, I'm still sticking to the fact that the Indiana Pacers are going to beat the Miami Heat and go to the NBA Finals. I'm still sticking to that fact. I'm still sticking to that fact. Now, let me put it this. Let me premise it by this. Now, supposedly Paul George sustained a concussion, but he has until Saturday to pass the test to make sure that he can he can play on Saturday. But I still believe, even though the Indiana Pacers lost the game in the last 5 to 6 minutes in the second game of the series, that they can still beat the Miami Heat. And if it goes 7 games, I really believe that that it can happen. And since Black, you're the last person laughing, I'm gonna go and talk to you first.
You watched the draft lottery the other night, didn't you?
Excuse me?
You watched the draft lottery the other night, didn't you?
Yeah, go ahead, Black. Go. What's that got to do with anything?
Who got the number one pick once again?
Cleveland. Okay.
Well, how many times is that in 4 years?
Three.
Three in 4 years? Coincidence. Now, who's the back-to-back champion?
The Miami Heat.
Okay, and how long do these series usually drag out? About 6 or 7 games, right?
Absolutely.
What makes you think that Indiana is going to beat Miami?
Because I believe Indiana is a better team. Now, you're going on the premise that the play they have played in the last two or three months.
You must have not got the Adam Silver memo that me and Mikhail got.
So you're telling me it's going to be a replay of last year and the year before that Miami Heat are going to the finals? I'm not even talking about winning it. I'm just talking about going to the finals.
I'll make this declaration like I did for my Wizards. My Wizards were the one I eat the Blazer hot wings. If Indiana beats Miami in a 7-game series, I eat the Blazer hot wings.
Okay. Theo, Redskin fan, talk to me. What do you think about my thoughts about the Indiana and Miami Heat series?
Yeah, man, I think you need to be tested, man. I always see that happening, man. It's just they already got a player that's shaking up a little bit, and that's their number one player. And like they don't have anything for the Heat, man. We see with the Heat that all it takes is for the Wade or Bosh to just do a little bit, and LeBron can do LeBron is going to do him. So I don't see Indiana getting through Miami. I'm more worried about the finals. I'm more worried about the Spurs than the Pacers getting there. I don't see it happening, man. It's going to be like it always been, man. Miami's going to get to the finals, and then what's going to happen with LeBron? And, maybe this whole going back to Cleveland thing, that's going to be something that's going to be a topic. But the Indiana Pacers, right now, they ain't doing that anymore.
All right. Jeff?
I don't think it's in the script for the Pacers to win.
Oh, boy.
I don't know how else to put it. I'm notoriously paranoid and fond of conspiracy theories. And I'll tell you, though, I mean, the way Indiana limped into the playoffs, I'm surprised they made it to the second round. But, I don't know. I just it's hard to see. It's hard to see. I mean, Game 7, if there is one, is going to be in Miami, right?
No, Game 7 is going to be in Indiana.
For real?
Indiana's the number one seed. They have the home court advantage.
Oh, wow.
That means it's going to go 6 games. That's what that means.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like the script. that sounds like the script.
Well, Jeff, before I go to Macau, you made a good point here, and this is the reason why I'm saying this. They may have limped into the playoffs, and despite all the things that they've done wrong throughout the two series, they've gone through the Atlanta Hawks, and they've gone through the Washington Wizards, and now they're playing – where they want to be, in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Miami Heat. So despite all the things that took place over the last 2 or 3 months, them playing bad and what's wrong with the Indiana Pacers and all the dysfunction that's taken place, they are still in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Miami Heat and the number one seed. So I've listened to Theo, I've listened to Black, and I listen to you, Jeff, before I go to Macau.
That says something about the resolve of this team
and what I think they can accomplish going up against the Heat. Macau.
I need you to send me a text later, Jerry. I need you to send me a text later, and I'll forward your email to Adam Silver so you can get the number.
Macau, talk to me.
Oh, man, Jerry, I got mad respect for you, man. I really do. I'm going to tell you one thing, y'all. This dude is consistent. Because you were saying the same shit last year.
That's right.
You said the same stuff last year, right? But,
that's right.
Hey, Jerry, I don't see it. That second game showed me exactly who the Heat were. And they didn't look stressed. They didn't look like, you know, they was up against the ropes. It's like another day at work. And I just don't think that Indiana has as much fortitude as the Heat have. They just don't have it. You know, it could be fractured. And it's going to start when they get down here in Miami. And Miami put it on them. But I think this is going to be a really good series, though. But I haven't seen anything from Indiana to warrant me to even think that they would, like, take this from the Heat. I more so agree with Theo. I'm more worried about them playing the Spurs. That's going to be a hell of a game if when they get into the finals. Spurs and the Heat.
Okay, well, we got about 3 minutes left in the show, and I really want to spend most of the time on Indiana, which I did, because the other series, which is going to be played, the next game is going to be played on Sunday with San Antonio up 2-0 and kicking the living you-know-what out of OKC by 35 the last game. I mean, maybe this is a stupid question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, and I'm going to go to Jeff, then Macau, then Black, and then Theo. Your thoughts, San Antonio, OKC, what's it look like for the rest of the go? Jeff?
Oh, shoot, I'm sorry. You know, I really haven't been following that series too close because my mom all of a sudden is a big Miami Heat fan. So,
okay.
I'm not kidding. My mom just started watching Hoops, and she's picking it up pretty quick. But I haven't really been following the other conference. I've been hearing a lot about the Heat, though.
Okay. How about Macau?
The Spurs look. They look like they've gotten a bottle of the Fountain of Youth from somewhere, because they picking and rolling real crisp and smooth. And, you know, another thing that's helping them out, you know, Serge L. Block is not there, you know. So that, you know, it's kind of a little bit harder for OKC. But, you know, it shouldn't be no excuse, but they don't have anybody down there in the hole to stop Timmy and what's that big boy's name? I forget his name. Big
who?
Big power.
Tim Duncan?
Yeah. They ain't got nothing for that down there, OKC. Perkins can't do it by himself. He can't do it by himself. And I'm going to say the same thing. I mean, I love Kevin Durant. I really do. I love him with all my heart, man. The dude is class dude. But he got to get a down-low presence. It's the same thing I said about LeBron, you know. Same thing. He going through that same thing. He got to get down-low, man. Beef up that body, man. Go down to the shrimp boat and get some fish or something, you know, bulk up. I don't know.
All right, Black.
Well, even if he gets big, it's not going to matter. The Spurs play excellent. Excellent team basketball. That's the way you play basketball. Get everybody involved.
I ain't gonna lie to you. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, CO attested this, man. That Westbrook ball, I mean, it just doesn't work, man. It doesn't work.
I think the only way that the Thunder can come back from this is if they get some of that special juice that, that Mike's handing out on Space Jam, man. That'll be their only hope, man. You know, I'd be happy if they can finish the game within 10 points, man. Spurs just looking like the Spurs right now on schedule.
All right. All right. Well, we come to the end of the show. I wanted you guys to give your parting shots before we cancel this. Exit out of here and try to enjoy this holiday weekend. I'm going to go up the chain here. I'm going to go to Theo, then Black, Macau, and then Jeff. Talk to me, my man. Parting shot.
Yeah, I just want to say that it's T-O, like the third letter, not T-O like the football player. I'm not going down him or nothing. But I just appreciate being on the show, man, and interacting with y'all. Y'all always good people, man. My shot right there.
Black.
I got to take a shot at the Lakers fans. You know, I can't stand the Lakers. You guys got the 7th pick in the lottery. Congratulations.
Speaking of Lakers.
Go Lakers forever. Lakers life. Yeah, we sorry now. And the Wizards look better than us this year, but we all knew they was going to break your heart. You know what I'm saying? Don't get mad. We knew.
Oh, no. I'm happy because you're stuck here in Washington with the Wizards of Sam. You can go to your room at night and cry your Lakers tears out when the Lakers do nothing next year again.
Hey, look, the Wizards is like that drunk dude that come home and knock over everything in the dark. he do it about 10 times until when he come home, he don't knock down nothing. He just drunk and walk right in there. But shout out to my beloved Redskins. You know, we got 50 senators coming after saying the name, but all politics is local, and you need to pay attention to the two who did not sign it. Peace and blessings.
Jeff.
Just want to wish everybody a good holiday weekend, and be careful and whatever. With the fireworks and with the alcohol and whatever. And if you are doing fireworks, cigars are really good to light them, you know, because this way you don't have to keep using a lighter or matches, you know. So you get a little practice on Memorial Day before the 4th of July. And I remember when I was a kid, you know, it was just, a lot of kids I knew went to fireworks. I mean, I knew one kid, he had so much stuff, he could have joined NATO. You know, I mean, it was like, he had everything. And it was like, he could have blown up buildings, you know. Those are the good old days when, you know, you weren't worried about terrorism and whatnot. But, just don't be foolish with that stuff. And hopefully we'll get some good basketball games to watch, whatever. And hopefully the Knicks will find a coach.
Good luck with that. Anyway, I want to thank you guys for chiming in tonight. Enjoy the holiday festivities over the Memorial Day weekend. Be safe. Party hard. Come back same time, same place next Thursday, and we'll converse on several topics that are in the news in fantasy sports and politics. With that being said, we're out.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew.